it's time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and to test your Bible knowledge, I'm going to ask a Bible question. There's a sea in the northern part of the land of Israel that usually goes by the name of the Sea of Galilee. There was a Roman city that was built along that sea. And the sea was sometimes called the Sea of that Roman city. So the Sea of Galilee is sometimes called the Sea of what? And the name of that is the Sea of that Roman city. What was the name of that Roman city? Well, I'll answer that question in just a moment. And it's found in the text we're studying about when Jesus fed the 5,000 men. And so you're going to find the answer in John chapter 6 and verse 1. First, make a mental note. Do you know what the name of that city was? It was the largest city in Galilee at the time of Jesus. That might give you a hint. It was a Roman city. That gives you a hint. And it was on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And so that's why the sea sometime carried the name of that city. Well, we'll answer that question in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, do you know the name of the city? Let me read this to you. John chapter 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Tiberias is the answer. That city was actually built by Herod Antipas during the life of Jesus, during his early life. And it quickly became the largest city in Galilee. So much so that the Galilean Sea would sometimes carry that nomenclature, the Sea of Tiberias, being built right there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Let's get into our lesson. This is a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sundays of January the 31st, 1926. And we read here in this lesson that, as we see, Jesus went and sought a desert place. It says a great multitude followed him. He went away. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Well, he went there because he wanted to go up there into a mountain and to pray, but people followed him. Well, why did Jesus seek a desert place? In this miracle recorded by all four of the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see all the motives which cooperated in prompting Jesus to seek retirement in a desert place, over the sea, and beyond Herod's jurisdiction. There was the desire of Herod to see him in Luke 9:9-10, which desire he had no intention of gratifying. There was the need for rest for himself and his apostles, just returning from the toilsome journeyings, for they had no leisure so much as to eat, we read in Mark 6:30-31. Well, there was the news of the death of John the Baptist in Matthew 14:13. Jesus was deeply grieved, and the multitudes were greatly enraged over the sad, cruel murder of John the Baptist. These are the things that prompted Jesus to seek the privacy of the desert. I think it's interesting to note that it's called a desert, but you're going to see there's a lot of grass there, and there is right there by the Sea of Galilee. It wasn't a desert because it was dry and barren. It was desert because it was deserted by people. But now the people came, because Jesus was there. Herod feared the multitudes, or he would have beheaded John the Baptist before this. And we read about that in Matthew 14 and verse 5. They were now ready to revolt. And with their misconceptions of the nature of Christ's mission to crown and proclaim him king, which they really attempted anyway, John 6 and verse 15, hence he withdrew into privacy for meditation and rest and to allow the excitement among the people to subside. Let me read John 6, verses 1 through 5. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they beheld the signs which he did on them that were sick. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes, and seeing that a great multitude cometh unto him, said unto Philip, Whence are we to buy bread that these may eat? Well, it's upon hearing the death of John the Baptist, Matthew 14:12, and upon the return of the apostles from their preaching tours, Mark 6:30 and Luke 9:10, that Jesus and his disciples went into a desert place apart, across the northern end of the Sea of Galilee. They crossed the sea in a boat. The multitudes from all the cities, intensely interested, saw them going, recognized them, and followed them, running together there on foot, and outwent him. That the great multitude was great, we learn from the fact that it numbered about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The multitudes followed him, because they beheld the signs which he did on them that were sick, John 6:2. The public roads passed around the head of the sea, and the people took these roads on foot, and out went the boat, which they could see almost all of their journey. When the boat landed, they were there, awaiting Jesus. Again, all opportunity for rest was gone, and again, his sympathy for the people. Jesus lost sight of his own personal needs and came forth out of the boat, and seeing the great multitude, he had compassion on them and welcomed them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he spoke to them of the kingdom of God, and them that had need of healing were cured. Matthew 14:14, Mark 6:34. And Luke 9:11. The compassion of Jesus is frequently mentioned in the New Testament. This was near the Passover, and the people were collecting to attend this annual feast at Jerusalem. It was in the spring, when the grass was fresh and green. You'll notice in John 6 and verse 10 how Jesus tells them to sit down on the grass. In the feast of John 5:1 is a Passover. It was the second one since Jesus began his public ministry, and 1 year since he cleansed the temple the first time in John 2:18. One of this lesson would be the third one. From John 6:3, it seems that Jesus retired with his apostles a while into a mountain. But from the other writers, it appears that the multitudes followed and there was no time for rest. And he spent the day teaching them and healing the afflicted. Matthew 14:15 says, When even was come. Mark 6:35 says, When the day was now far spent. And Luke 9:12 says, And the day began to wear away. The conversation between Jesus and the apostles about feeding the 5 people took place late in that evening. Jesus had compassion on them, not only because they were hungry, but because they were destitute of the bread of life. They had no spiritual food and no shepherds, save the blinded and bigoted scribes and Pharisees. Jesus asked Philip about feeding them. Whence are we to buy bread that these may eat? All the 12 thought it would be impossible for them to buy sufficient quantity. Hence they came and said to him, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and countries round about and lodge and get provisions, for we are here in a desert place," Luke 9:12, "and buy themselves what to eat," Mark 6:36. To this Jesus replied, "They have no need to go away. Give ye them to eat." The apostles replied through Philip, "Shall we go and buy 200 shillings worth of bread and give them to eat? Or 200 shillings worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little?" John 6:7. This was the estimate of the apostles as to how much it would take to buy enough bread for all to have a little. A shilling was equal to about 17 cents in our money, hence 200 shillings worth would be about $34 worth. But a shilling then would buy 5 or 6 times as much as it will now. It was the ordinary price of a day's work by a common laborer. The apostles either did not have that much money, or having it, did not think it sufficient. Jesus then asked, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see," Mark 6:38. Well, they did not know, but they had ascertained. They reported through Andrew, "Here is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many?" Well, Jesus feeds the soul. We read in John 6:6-9, "And this said he to prove them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 shillings worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, 'There's a lad here who hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they among so many?'" Jesus knew before he raised these inquiries what he would do. He did this for the spiritual benefit of the apostles, to prove Philip. They, like ourselves, are sometimes slow to learn. These verses embraced the examination. This was plain, common food, the food of the poor classes. It was all the apostles could command at that time and place, these barley loaves. The multitude, as well as Christ and the apostles, were so greatly interested as to lose sight of temporary needs. In compassion, Jesus fed the multitude, while at the same time, by the miracles he wrought, he demonstrated his divine power and showed his authority to teach. By healing the bodies of men, he showed his power to heal their souls. By feeding their bodies, he showed his power to feed their souls. Jesus is the bread of life. That lad should have 5 loaves and 2 fishes is only a mere incident from which Jesus draws no lesson. We may as well give to the 5 loaves and 2 fishes some spiritual signification. He was no better than 1,000 other lads because he happened to have these. He represented no aid society or separate organization from the church to help it along or to supplement the wisdom of God. Well, Jesus gave thanks. We read in John 6:10, Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. When the 5 loaves and 2 fishes were reported, Jesus said, "Bring them hither to me," Matthew 14:18. He then directed the apostles to seat the men upon the grass in companies of 50s and 100s, we learn from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This was orderly, and it was done for convenience in waiting upon them. It was comfortable and convenient to sit upon the ground, for there was much grass in the place, it being about the 1st of April. The apostles, in obedience to Jesus, went about arranging the companies as he directed. There were about 5,000 men, besides women and children, Matthew 14:21. It was customary then, as it is in the East, for men to eat alone, reclining. and for the women and children to eat, but to themselves sitting. We're going to return to this in our next class.